All right, what's up, guys? We are back with another podcast episode. I am your host, Chris, and this is my co-host, Will. This is the first time I've done that successfully. Let's go.
Don't you mean unsuccessfully? You have it switched, so I don't know if it was right or not.
Don't confuse the poor viewers. Don't confuse them.
You know, the viewers out there know better. If you are a longtime listener, put in the comments and tell everybody else in the comments who, like, you know, the correct labels. Thank you.
Okay. Anyways, guys, this week we have some just random small things we want to talk about, and then some thoughts on the new Paddletech Bantam HUDEF Gen 3, the 11.6.24, and then we're going to talk about some of the debacle this week with my Vatic Oni review, as well as some updates about the Yola that people are going to want to keep in mind, the Yola Gen 3s, if you're going to buy them. So it's going to be a good one. We got a lot to talk about.
Yes, many paddles. It's paddle mayhem still until, I don't even know when, dude.
Yeah, to forever. Yeah. Always. Honestly, okay. you know how they always talk about like Techtober for like tech YouTube? I think it's October or November around there. Mm-hmm. Dude, mm-hmm. I think pickleball paddles, it's, now that I've had like 2 years of this, I feel like it's like April to like June feels like the really heavy months. And then a little bit at the end of the year, pick up a lot, quite a bit, because of Christmas.
Everybody's trying to release something. Exactly. Everybody's trying to release something or refresh something for the holiday season. And then it makes sense because a lot of these paddles are manufactured overseas and in China. So there's Chinese New Year. So that's like a whole month that's pretty much gone. They're not working or they're on vacation. Yep. So you don't get production until early spring, and then the marketing machine that are these paddle companies then release everything, you know, April, May, and to the summer. Yeah, that's how it kind of goes.
Totally. All right. Anyways, first thing I want to talk about is I took a forehand dink lesson from one of my friends. Actually, this might have been like 2 weeks ago.
You need a forehand dink lesson?
My forehand dinking is atrocious, at least in my opinion. Relative to my backhand, like, I feel so good on the left side, and on the right side, I just hate it. So I was like, we just need to go over this. It wasn't a super formal thing. It was like, let's just go hit. And because she's really good at forehand dinking. So I was like, please just tell me. And it's funny. Within like 5 minutes, I pretty much figured out what the problem was. And I kept saying, I was like, I wanted this to be harder because now I'm mad that I didn't fix this months ago.
Let me guess. It's the tip of your paddle face. It's not down enough.
Yes.
Ah, I knew it. I've been telling you this for years, Chris.
So here's what's funny about it. It's a couple things. So a lot of times I was slicing the ball which also goes into a footwork thing. I think I wasn't moving my feet enough to get into a position where I could put my tip down. And then the other really big thing is keeping my hand really close to my right leg and not letting it reach away from my body. Because obviously, the further you reach, it's hard to put your tip down and like still roll the ball up, right?
Yes, no, that is correct. And trust me, I know about that because, you know, the shot that I do is the scoop, and it's a very difficult shot to do, and it's for that very reason.
Yep.
You know? Yeah, so I get it.
Well, made a good. Huge I'm glad. Difference, though. Like, I feel so much better on that side. I still, if I have to slice the ball, I still don't love it, but I can, at least now I have options. As long as I'm willing to move my feet, I feel much more comfortable on that side.
Okay. All right. Well, next time I see you, I guess. I don't know when that is because we're not competing in anything anytime soon. I think I'm going to the Texas Open.
And the one end of May?
Yes. And you're going to be in Minnesota with your, you have a large tournament, like a large Minnesota state tournament.
Yep.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. I was planning on going to the Minnesota one to play with your brother to knock you guys, you know, out of the tournament, but
say it's funny though because you wouldn't even have played us because Isaac's gonna do open and I'm in 5-0.
Oh really? He's gonna do open? No, because he said that if I played, we would go play 5-0 just
you
get a crack at you.
If I knew that was gonna happen, I would drop all my paddle reviews for the month. I would drop them all just to train.
Why? Just to train.
I would say forget it. Not reviewing a paddle this month, guys.
Oh, man. That is... Oh, your ego is just... it won't let you lose to me and your brother? Come on.
Here's the thing.
All you want. I could lose to you,
but if losing to Isaac, I'll hear about it from the end of time. Just like he's going to hear about, till the end of time, how I beat him at the last CT tournament.
Ah, I see. Okay. You know what? That's perfectly fair. That's fine. Yeah, I get it. Big brother, you know, has to have something over younger brother. And I have a younger brother too, so I get it. So you know what? That's smart. Props to that. I'm glad that I helped you, you know, in this kind of endeavor to keep you at the top of the food chain.
There I appreciate it. It won't stay that way probably for long.
No.
All right. Next thing I want to talk about is the Gamma Library Ball. So they sent...
That's what it's called?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's what it's called. At least that's what I kept hearing it get called. I guess I did not fact check that before the podcast. But anyways, it's a foam ball from Gamma that is meant to be used when you have to be quiet. And this thing makes almost no noise. Like, if you hit it on a pickleball court, like, you could hit at 6 a.m. in a residential area and there's no way anyone's going to hear you. So what I'll say first is that I think you could successfully drill with it if you did like dinking and hands and some basic stuff at the net. Here's the thing, you can play pickleball with it, but it's a very, very, very different pickleball, because it's
a different experience.
You can put so much spin on the ball because it's like foam, so it sinks in and compresses and also grabs the face harder. And then it also grabs the ground really hard. So if you hit backspin, like, it just stops and then literally goes backwards.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I haven't played with it outdoors, but when Gamma gave it to me, I said, oh, this is a great like training tool like indoors.
Yep.
And I've actually set up the, what's it called, the pickler net, or is it the picklin net? You know what I'm talking about? It's like a half net.
Yep.
Right? I've set that up in my living room. I moved my couches and then I have this rug that's green, which is like kind of like the right size. And I've played pickleball in my living room with that ball, like just messing around, dicking around for fun. And I mean, I don't know. I'm not scared of just whacking it, like it ricocheting off the walls and the TV and stuff.
Dude, but I'm telling you, take it to your court with some friends because I don't know how to explain it. It's hard to play with. Like, I brought it and we had 3 5-0s and one of our pros, and it was so wonky. Like, no one knew what to do because the ball just played so weird. So, like, full game pickleball, probably less than ideal, but I do think, like, if I had a home court and I, for whatever reason, really wanted to hit it, like, 7 a.m., you could use this, and it would be fine.
Maybe so, they need to iterate on it, because I do like it, and I like the idea.
Yeah.
Maybe if they made it a little firmer.
Yeah, right? Maybe that. I mean, that could definitely help. Like, I think they should explore some more options with it, because to me, again, we've talked about this. Why make a quiet paddle when you could just do it with the ball?
Yeah.
Like, or here's the thing. Maybe if there's areas where it has to be super quiet, just make a ball that's close but significantly reduces the sound. And now people can just buy like a $3, $5 ball, whatever, and play it there instead of buying another $180 paddle.
Okay.
Let's mess with the Gamma Library Ball. It's fun.
It's just so funny. Why do they call it the Library Ball? Is it because like it's quiet. Really quiet?
Yeah, the library. Yeah.
This is probably before your time, but have you seen, there was like a game show back in the day called Quiet Library? You know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Basically, there's like this wheel. They spin, a bunch of people would go into the library and they'd have to do some like funny...
Loud thing.
Not loud things, but they just like, so one of the things, like, you have to, like, whoever goes, they have to like pick the nose hair off of like the next person and next to them, and so they pull it and then they're trying not to make sounds and they're all just really trying hard not to laugh, you know, and they're just other little challenges that they have to do, and it's just kind of funny, like, you know, kind of like the tortilla, like, imagine like the tortilla challenge,
sure,
but in a library, and you have to try really hard not to be loud.
I gotcha. Yeah. Okay, interesting. All right. Anyways, next thing I want to talk about, the Paddle Tech, the new Bantams. So the Annalee's been out forever, and I remember making a Instagram story last year that was like, this is going to be the most slept on paddle of 2023 and possibly even 2024, and that was
it has been
correct, because no one has been talking about it, and myself included. Problem is, with my month off in January, it just threw off the schedule, and then too many new things were coming out. But these paddles flip and rock. Paddle Tech is back.
Oh, it's like that. It's back. I mean, here's it's funny because our last pod was, you know, about reviews, and do bad reviews hurt companies? And the funny thing is that do good reviews help companies, if there's, you know, or just good words from us, even on the pod, even if you haven't made a video on it? So, I mean, we've talked about the Annalee Waters paddle before and how good it is before, right?
But yeah, but it hasn't gotten the attention that it actually deserves.
Why do you think that is?
Honestly, that's a good question. I think, well, one, Paddle Tech has always been like kind of hard to work with, or they haven't necessarily reached out to content creators. Because I think most of like you and the people I talk to like don't have a contact at Paddle Tech. Like I don't have a contact at Paddle Tech.
I need you to send it to me, or at Paddle Tech, if you're listening to this, or somebody who's listening to this at Paddle Tech, just reach out to me, send me a paddle, or ask Chris and send it to me, because I do want to ask Chris.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, so I think that is a big reason why it wasn't covered much, because Braden, I remember, he got the 14, but not the 12. So he hit the 14, and it really wasn't that exciting. But the 12 is where all the magic is. And then he after that, I think he was kind of like, yeah, these aren't that great. But he had never got to try that one. So I think it was a combination of a lot of things why people didn't get to try them. But now the new ones are out. They have the TKO-C, which is a 16.5-inch paddle. It's literally the shape of a Power Air. That's what the shape of it is. Then they have
TKO-C.
Yep. And then they have the TKO-CX, which is the same thing, but with a 5.75-inch handle. And that thing rocks.
It rocks. First of all, what is up with this name, TKO?
Like, it stands for technical KO. Knockout.
So it is technical KO. Okay, yeah. Technical knockout. Okay.
Sorry.
No. Technical knockout. Why are they just called the KO? Like, do they have one called the KO? That's what I need to know now. Well, you missed the boat. Like, you must be saving that name for a better paddle, because like, I don't want a TKO. I want a KO. Like, what? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and you know what's really interesting? So the TKO-CX, the long handle one, I was told they were like, yeah, we're not really going to advertise this one. Like, we kind of think it's too much, so we're not really going to advertise that. And I didn't get it till later. Like, I had all the other ones, and I was like, hey, actually, I want that one. Like, I like long handles, so I got it. I don't know why they don't want to advertise this one. This one, for me, it is my favorite one because of the long handle. Like, the other one, they're fine. They're great. But I would have, that long handle one flipping rocks. They should be advertising that thing.
So does it play similar to, I'm just thinking right now, because it's long handle, it's thinner, like, you know, it's 12.7 raw carbon fiber face. Does it play similar to the Thrive Rush, or maybe the Franklin Tour Dynasty 12 millimeter? Is that the one?
If people have hit the Annalee, they feel just like that, but in long form with a little bit more power because the paddle's long. So it's, I feel like Paddle Tech really nailed the feel of these, because it's like, it's very poppy. It feels very like firm off the face. It just has a really good feel that I can't think of any other paddles that have it quite like this one. It's just... Okay. Whatever the heck they did, I'm happy for them, because it's a great paddle. Like,
okay, all right. Now I need to get my hands on them to compare, if you're saying it this much, but I don't know. I guess you would like the
TKO CX as well.
Gosh, this name CX. I'm gonna have to. Can we just?
Not gonna lie, the naming scheme kind of sucks.
Too many letters.
Yeah.
TKO. And
I can't. Do I have it behind me? Can I see it? The Tempest. Let me grab it quick. Hang on.
Yeah.
I'm back. Okay.
Is the Tempest Wave Pro?
Wait, hang on a second. How does that? Okay. So it's like even more. So the C, I assume, stands for carbon, because these are all now raw carbon fiber. But it's the Tempest TKO-C, and then you have the Bantam TKO-C. And I'm like, stop. Bantam.
Bantam TKO-C. Oh, why do they call in? If it's called the Bantam, why do they put TKO in front of it? I don't understand.
Well, Bantam is like the line. Bantam is their power line. Yeah. Tempest is their control right. line. I don't know yes. why both need to have TKO in the name.
Exactly. That's what I was asking. Why do they both have TKO in the name? It yeah. doesn't make...
They hit a home run with the paddles, but they did a very less than stellar job on the names. Oh, also, okay. for people that care, okay. or if they're familiar with the Anna Lee one, the butt cap was not great on that one, at least to me. Some yeah. people like it.
It was that rubber nipple one, right?
Yep, it's that, but it's also like flares out really aggressively at the bottom, so your finger kind of sits awkwardly if you have larger hands. On the new elongated ones, they do not do that. Like, it's a very good grip. The butt cap is fine. There's no exposed is polymer. It
flat? Flat butt cap?
Yes, flat butt okay. cap. Yep.
Okay.
So,
good job, Christian.
Yeah.
For making sure that that's how it should be.
Exactly. So I feel like Paddletech made the right adjustments. They have a raw carbon fiber surface. They fixed the handles. They gave us multiple shapes. The paddles, I think they're probably a hair below, like, a Gearbox and a Yola Gen 3. Like, I don't think
they're... A hair below. They're hit that hard.
They hit hard, dude. Like, they...
Top five. Would they be top five power paddles? If you had a top five right now, would you put them in there?
If you could only put one Yola in there, the Gearbox,
yeah. Yeah.
the Oni... Mm-hmm. I'd have to think a little bit, but it would be pretty close. Like, it slaps the ball, contender. Dude. And it's...
Okay.
It makes, like... It's almost like a Black Ace, where when it hits the ball, it makes this loud, like, cracking noise. So it just sounds aggressive when someone hits the ball hard.
I see. Okay, well, we'll see if I like it, because I was not a huge fan of the Black Ace.
Yeah, it's... I know you don't think it feels like the Black Ace, but I was just thinking okay. in terms of auditory, it's pretty loud like a Black Ace.
Okay, gotcha. All right, everybody bust out the Gamma Library ball we're playing. If I'm playing with this thing, watch out.
Well, we played at a friend's house today, and his neighbors have complained about his court before, and two of us had the new Bantams, and I was like, oh gosh, they're going to be so angry.
Did I tell you one time when I was back home at my parents' place back in Northern Virginia, and I went to go play, there's these courts in this neighborhood, and they're right behind this guy's like backyard, and this guy is so petty about the noise, right? Like, he would run, I don't know, some sort of machine. It sounds like air dryer, like, leaf blower in the back runner to annoy the pickleball players so they can't hear. And then it's funny because all the pickleball players, there's even if no one's playing, if there's only like a set of four people playing, they will go play to the court closest to his backyard just to annoy him. So it's like the pettiness is real, and I just think it's absolutely hilarious.
Dude, I'm not kidding you. So we're in the process of looking for a house, and we want to build a court. Like, I mean, we will be picking a house that I can put a court in, and yeah. the amount of houses we have seen, and I'm like, oh man, like, that's just a little too close to neighbor. Like, I'm so worried about getting that neighbor that just yeah. hates my guts, and it's even worse because I do this for work. So the amount of yeah. hours that court will get used,
right?
Yeah, it's yeah. I'm worried about that. For sure.
I mean, once you get it, you can figure out some solutions to help reduce the noise. Or, you know what, you'll just be dinking and playing with the Gamma Library ball.
Could be.
That's what you'll be doing. New spin test numbers.
Oh,
you know,
no.
Needs to be updated. It would be all the Gamma Library
ball. The numbers would be off the charts. Like, oh, I bet someone could hit 3K with that ball.
Yeah.
Like, it's too. Crazy. But anyways, last thing I want to say about the new Paddletechs is the grit on them is extremely, uh-huh. extremely absurdly consistent. The only brands that I'm gonna guess are even remotely close to being this consistent are Selkirk mm-hmm. and Engage, and that's because I won't be surprised yeah. if they all use the same raw carbon manufacturer since it's from the US. Mm. But I have 10 different raw carbon fiber paddles from Paddletech, and I ran yeah. a stared on every single one of them, and I've never seen numbers this consistent. Like, they pass with flying colors. I don't know. I was shocked. So huge props to them, because especially in a world right now with the Yolas where it's gritty on one side and, mm-hmm. you know, not on the other. Yeah. This yeah. is nice to see.
Do you know what they're going to retail for? Or are they already retail?
$230, I believe.
$230. Okay. not bad.
Which personally, honestly, I feel like this release was very well timed for them in a time where paddles are breaking a lot right now, which we'll get to in a minute. But there's a few things that make me go like, dang, the value proposition is like very there. So first, lifetime warranty, which whether you care about that or not, okay. Consistent grit, so you're not worried about having to go to a store and touch the stupid thing. They are not thermoformed. They're not using edge foam. They're not using any of the things that give paddles problems right now. So it's just a Gen 1 paddle that slaps the crap out of the ball, which hopefully means the durability should be up there. That remains to be seen. I'm not saying for sure that it is, but odds are it will be a very durable paddle. So for $230 and you don't have to deal with warrantying your paddle all the time. And it's
pretty good.
Yeah, like it's just, it's good. Well done, Paddle Tech.
Good job. Good job, Paddle Tech. Well, I mean, my verdict remains to be, you know, established. But, I mean, Paddle Tech, Chris vetted you. You're doing pretty good. You're doing pretty good.
Anything
else you want to say about the Paddle Tech?
Well, I guess the last thing is I don't think I ever thought I would be saying this. Like, I kind of just, with how much they were
on the map,
they were just like dying. I mean, last year, nothing. Then they released those like paint grit models and it, I don't know. I kind of thought they were going over the edge, but these might bring them back.
Yeah.
These really might do it.
No, that's a resurgent. I mean, same thing with Engage. And then the Pursuit Pros, even the, I think, I mean, I mentioned it on the thing on the last pod, the Pursuit Pro ones.
Yep.
Those are really good. I'll probably do a review on that. I think that's the best in paddle Engage has made thus far. Nice. That would probably go in my top 10.
Like, it makes sense that you paddles. Like that probably over the other one because it's a little bit like has a, while it doesn't hit soft, it has a more muted soft feel off the face. And I feel like the way you like to play, I feel like those types of paddles suit your game better than like the old Pursuit Pros, which were pretty jumpy and stiff.
Yeah, they were jumpy and stiff. So I like this. There's this lively kind of feel to it, but it doesn't feel like it pops crazy, but it feels responsive and lively. Like I have a good, it has a good touch like on it. It's really hard to describe in words, but yeah, they did a good job. And you know, it's funny, like, okay, so do you have anything else you want to say about the Paddle Tech?
Nope, go ahead.
Okay, so moving on, I know you and I, we've been kind of reviewing a lot of these expensive paddles as of late, so I want to touch base on some more affordable options just recently and the ones that I've hit with, which are the Hudef Gen 3, Viva Gen 3. It's their Generation 3, but it's not technically how we describe a Generation 3 paddle. It's really just their Generation 2, but now it has a carbon Kevlar face. I've been hitting with it a lot more, and it's been good because the Generation 2, the Version 2, had raw carbon fiber, and now I can compare it with a paddle that has Kevlar and carbon fiber. And also the same goes with the 11624, the Huarache that you really like. They have a carbon Kevlar version. So I've been hitting those and I've been hitting them side by side. And I know Braden has said this, but he, in his pod, he said, I don't know how to describe Kevlar. I don't know where it sits or how it's supposed to feel or play. And when I hit these paddles, I kind of felt the same way. I'm like, man, it's very hard for me to tell the difference, if at all. Like, you know, I almost feel like I'm forcing myself to think.
Sure.
You know, that it's different. If you blindfold me, I don't know if I could tell the difference. Now, that being said, I think they're really great paddles and, you know, they're both very affordable. I don't forget how much the Hudef goes for or the 11624 carbon Kevlar. Do you know off the top of your head or around the range?
The Hudef, I want to say, is around 140, 150, probably before a code. And then the Huarache, I haven't seen yet, but I would not be surprised if it's in a pretty similar price range.
Yeah, similar price range. So I mean, it's good to have, you know, some paddles that are, you know, a little bit more affordable that still play great. I think they both look really amazing too. But interestingly enough, nobody here has played with, I think I'm probably the only one in town that has the Huarache, but I do have a few friends here that play with the Hudef Viva Gen 2, the carbon fiber, and I let them play with the carbon Kevlar one. And you know, it's funny, I said I can't tell the difference, and I felt like the carbon Kevlar plays a little bit softer, in my opinion. But all the people that play with the Gen 2 that I let play with the Gen 3, they all think that the carbon Kevlar one plays a little bit harder. Like they can, it hits a little bit harder.
Interesting.
And I'm like, really? am I nuts? Am I bad at my job? Can I have no paddles? I'm second guessing myself. Does that ever happen to you? I mean, I guess it did. We're allowed to talk about the Vatic in a bit. But my theory is that I think that the carbon Kevlar plays, it's a little bit softer, or like the face is more malleable, right? So it's not as stiff, or it can bend a little bit better, if that makes sense. So it pockets it more. So because it pockets it more, you can kind of swing harder at it, and like the result looks like you hit harder. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it feels like it has more power, but you technically exerted more force.
Yes.
Onto the ball.
Does you took a bigger sense? Swing to get it, and you it still stayed swing,
but, in. And it still stayed in. So to you, as the player, you think it hits harder because you were able to swing or feel like you hit harder, but if the results were the same, if you did the same, if you used the same amount of force, and maybe,
yeah,
I don't know, if you could measure the speed of the ball and it was less, then technically it doesn't, it's less yes. powerful, right? Yes. So, I don't know. It was just really hard for me to kind of distinguish between the two, you know?
I'm pretty with you on, I mean, I haven't gotten to do direct comparisons. It would be really interesting for me to do the 11.6 24s because I'm so familiar with the Huarache. I feel like I'd be able to spot differences fairly well if there are any. But I've said it before, but I kind of just feel like Kevlar became a hyped material that it never really earned. Not that it's a bad material. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of people who like it. It's not bad at all. But it's so, the difference is very subtle and pretty nuanced. And I just feel like, one, you can't go wrong with either. And it just, like, I don't know, it doesn't excite me. It doesn't do anything for me that I feel is better. Some people like that a little bit softer, more muted.
It doesn't
feel.
Tickle your pickle. I got it.
All right. Oh my gosh. Definitely not. Definitely not. But yeah, the Kevlar for me is just, I'm not that high on it. I mean, I think there are some that feel pretty good. I know a lot of people are liking the J2Ks. Two J2Ks. Actually that are pretty fun to me. One, the Thrive Azul. Plenty of us have thought that's fun, but I think it's because it's stiffer and hits harder than what we've traditionally seen. But the other one, which I've only gotten one game with, but from first impressions I was liking quite a bit, was the Spartus Apollo. And with a discount code, I think the price goes down to 117. So I'm like, 117 for a wide body paddle. Kevlar gets great spin from everything I've seen. Like, that one is another one I want to get to at some point, and I won't be surprised. Like, if more people don't cover, it's going to get slept on. But it probably deserves coverage for sure.
Yeah, I did. My Spartus just came in. I haven't opened it out of the package yet, but I'm glad you mentioned Honolulu's J2K because that's also a good one. I mean, we have so many good options now, and I think the J2K would be another one I should probably hit side by side because they have the J2 and the J2K, which is, one is carbon Kevlar and one is carbon fiber, and I'd be interested to see how that kind of compares to each other as well, if there is more of a gap between the performance between the carbon fiber and the Kevlar. I'd probably be more interested to see, I think, Honolulu's J3. I think they're coming out with that. J3 is their like kind of like wide body, almost like Scorpius shape. And I really like the original J3. I think out of their line, their J3 was probably my favorite. So they come out with the Kevlar J3, I guess the J3K. That would be interesting for me to try it. Or I would definitely give that one a try. But I'm just saying this just because, you know, you, me, John Q, Braden, we've been covering a lot of these more expensive paddles, and you know, there's other options out there. I just want you guys listening to know that you don't have to spend, you know, the upwards, like, you know, 200 plus for a good paddle with, you know, the new Kevlar faces, etc. And also just letting you guys know that Kevlar is cool, at least in my opinion, as cool as I think it looks, and it is. It's not a massive performance difference, but if you want to stand out a little bit, you know, be a little different, there are more affordable options out there, and you'll have a good time, you know? So that's really all I wanted to say.
We've been editing a video that probably won't come out until sometime in May, but it's a bit of, I guess I won't describe it yet, just so no one steals the idea.
What? Come on, man. No one steals the idea. Just, okay.
But long story short.
Whisper it to me. You can edit this out later. Whisper it to me.
The one thing about it that we talk about is why you don't need to spend like over $200. Like, the vast a vast majority of pickleball players, you could spend $150 or less and be 100% fine. If you want to spend more, go for it. That's totally fine if you want to do that.
Yeah.
But there are performance paddles, $150 less. Plenty good. Plenty good.
You're getting diminishing returns, I think, as soon as you go past like 150, 160.
Yeah.
You know?
And then, you know, occasionally you'll have ones like, for a time being, the Gearbox and like the Yolas were basically the only ones that could do what they do at that price range. Mm-hmm. So if you want that, you're forced to go higher. But again, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, but most people who I have seen get the new Yolas so far have played worse than with the paddle they played with before because they just go for stupid stuff.
Better. Yeah.
You can just hit so hard and have so much spin that you're just going for dumb stuff that you wouldn't do. And it just, not that people won't get better with it, but I'm just saying for the time being, they are playing worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. Cool. Well, talking about new paddles and not having to spend that much, we're going to go over the new Vatic Oni, which you did a review on, released recently. Go check out the Pickleball Studio if you haven't seen that review. Has anybody else done videos on it that we know of? Like, you know,
I've only seen two. Tickle My Pickleball did one, but it was an early thoughts. I don't know how many play sessions he had. I don't know if it was one or if it was multiple. And then I saw another one.
Genghis Khan.
Yeah. So yeah, those I've only seen like two other than mine.
Okay. And what were their thoughts on it? Did they mimic or mirror yours or no?
No. And it's because the videos were definitely, or at least from what I could tell, minimal playing, like whether that's one or two sessions, it was seemed like minimal play because the way they described the paddle is exactly how I would describe the paddle before it breaks in and turns into something else. So
okay,
let's just go over this whole thing. For those of you who missed it, which probably not a lot of you who missed it because this review kind of went all over the place, I did a review on the Vatic Oni, and let's rewind to my whole testing with this. So I get the paddles. I start play testing one, and on day one, I'm like, okay, this paddle is okay, but it's not really that much better than the original Orange Vatic.
Yeah, that's how I felt when I first played with it, and I haven't had extensive time, but that was my initial thoughts as well.
Yeah, it's like it plays like a Gen 2 Thermo, maybe has good plow through it. The feel is more solid and a bit softer off the face. And I was like, okay, like this will be an easy review. And then every day, because I played either multiple times a day or I would go and drill, and every single time I went out, the paddle kept changing. So at first I was like, okay, you know, it's advertised a little differently. Like maybe it has a break-in period like we've been talking about. So it started getting really hot to the point where I was like, I can't drop with this thing. Like dinking games, like drill sessions were really hard for me. Third shot drops. I actually have in a video a session where I was dropping with the Vatic and then I switched to the Yola, which is not easy to drop with. And I'm dropping balls just fine. So I was like, okay, that's crazy. Then I went and did one final session the day before the review was supposed to go out because I always do one more just to confirm thoughts. I went out with Isaac, and we had two sets of these Vatics. He had the other set to film, and I was playtesting the other. And I was like, Isaac, you'll probably like this. I was like, hit this. Like, it hits really hard. And so we hit for a little bit, and he's like, dude, these really don't hit that hard. Like, my Yola hits way, way harder. And I was like, you're crazy. There's no way. So we run some spin tests and whatnot. And then I was like, wait a minute. Have we been hitting yours the whole time? And he was like, yeah, we've been hitting mine. And I was like, no. I was like, okay, wait. Something's not right then. Because I hit his.
You didn't match.
Yeah, because when he was hitting it, I was using the new paddle techs. And I was like, there's no way you think this hits soft. So I grabbed mine and hit him side by side. Completely different.
Completely different.
And I was like, oh, geez. I was like, there's no way my review can go out the next day. Because I was like, I need to know if I got a dud or if this is what people can expect. So next few days, Tuesday to Thursday, the paddle came out on Wednesday. I missed the launch. And then I do four more play sessions between Tuesday and Wednesday. And I was paying much closer attention to it loosening up. And I could literally feel it in between games each day, like getting hotter and hotter. Oh, and also the big thing we realized on Tuesday, the day before, we pressed into the Vatic and it was crunching. And I was like, oh, that's not a good sign.
I saw that. I saw that on your story, on your IG stories, when you press into that, and even in the YOLAs or...
So the stories you're talking about were actually the YOLAs.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't end up posting about the Vatix because I didn't know yet. So I didn't want people to freak out like, oh. So that's, as I'm testing this new one, I have all this information. Does it loosen up and does it eventually crunch? And so by Thursday, it basically got to the point where my other one was, and I was like, okay, I basically see where these paddles are going. And also our third V7 had like a maraca-like sound in it. So anyways, I do my review, and it was not a great review. But it was largely talking about like the problems with this potential technology, and I feel like everything reached a boiling point for me. So the gearbox, when that came out, did the review, and everyone was like, Chris, this paddle doesn't hit anywhere near as hard as you said. And I was like, what? So we kind of learned what this crazy break-in period was like, because for the next few months, people used it, and eventually they would get hotter. And then we realized, okay, big QC issues. Lots of foam in the core, right?
Yep.
These YOLAs. We also, all four of us, noticed a break-in period. But I didn't notice any issues during my review and testing. Like, nothing broke.
Wait, you meant to say the Vatix. So you said these YOLAs.
No, the YOLAs I meant. Like, when we were doing our reviews.
Okay.
During our reviews of the YOLA, like, when we got them, we all noticed they got hotter from break-in. Like, me, you, John, Braden, or whatever.
Okay, yep.
Then when I get to the Vatix, which has a new design, breaks in, changes a lot, and then started crunching, I feel like it reached a boiling point for me where I was like, these designs just have issues. Like, paddles shouldn't change this drastically the more you use them, and they definitely shouldn't break. So that's why in the review it kind of spilled out as like I had kind of like a rant in there about like Gen 3 technology and breaking and blah 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 blah, and so it all boiled over into this video. So
do you think, you know how we had problems with core crushing and corruption back in Gen 2? This is early stages of Gen 3. Do you think these things will be ironed out as months go by, and maybe we'll have like a peak like that's doesn't break, or that's, you know, solid and good Gen 3 paddle in the months to come?
It's definitely possible, I think, but as I look at some of these designs, it just makes me wonder, like particularly the Vatix, the way it's built. Have you seen how it's built?
Yeah, I've seen their graphics,
yeah,
right? That little commercial they do. So I have an idea. I saw it. Did you cut it up?
I did.
You cut it up, right?
And the foam expands a lot in there, and it really bends. Like if these are the polymer walls, the foam expands, and now they bend like this, which is essentially breaking down the integrity. So what was interesting is Daryl said, like, okay, look, it's kind of designed to do this, and allegedly it still passes a deflection test. I'd be curious to know if how much mine was squishing, if it would, but I guess we won't know. But he said the factory did multiple 5,000 hit tests on a paddle and did a deflection test, and they still passed. If that's the case, that's awesome for them. That's great. But it will be really hard to explain to people, hey, this paddle's allowed to crunch and still be legal, but these ones over here can't crunch, and those are illegal.
How much honeycomb is used in the Vaticonius? Do you know?
It's still a pretty good amount. If I had to put a percentage on it, it's got to be close to like 50% foam, 50% polymer, maybe a little more polymer than foam.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's the polymer and the honeycomb design. When you mix that in with foam somehow, like there's too many things that can kind of go wrong.
Well, especially in expanding foam.
Yeah, exactly. And foam kind of, I know there's a lot of different types of foam out there, but you know, you're going to have these paddles in different environments and conditions, temperatures, and things can happen with the foam. And that's kind of the inherent issue. Once you have something that moves or expands a lot, and then you have something that shouldn't expand, like, you know, like the honeycomb, like you're going to have issues and you're going to have problems. Actually, now that I think about it, I think we'll have a few good quote-unquote Gen 3 paddles out there. I'm still very much looking forward to Carbon's take on that paddle coming up, hopefully very soon, I
think. If that thing ever releases. They've been saying that since November.
I know, but Yeah. All right, anyways.
So, yeah, we'll anyways, see. That was like kind of the review process, and that's why I ended up being late, is I was like, well, I got to be sure that this happens. And I've never had two paddles from a company break. I don't want to say break because I guess it's, if they claim that's intentional and still passes, it's just like every part of what I know about paddles, that is a bad thing. So it's hard for me to like believe that squishing and crunching is still a good thing. But like I said in the review,
it might change.
Right? For now, we have to believe them, right? The USAP hasn't said anything, so we can't assume they're lying, right? Like you just have to assume it passes. So if you have one, you know, hope everything works great in that way. But I did think it was interesting after the review went up because a lot of people were really mad about different things.
What are they mad about? I didn't look at the comments, but honestly, some of these comments are so funny, dude.
So some people were like, wow, why didn't Yola or Gearbox get this hate? And I was like, well, first of all, Gearbox got an entire 20-minute video dedicated to them where I said, I can't recommend this anymore because of the QC issues. So I was like,
What are they talking about?
I don't know what that was all about. And then Yola, I was like, I haven't had any issues with it. So like, I can't. And I did say in my video, I said something along the lines of, it's Yola and they don't have a good history of QC. So we'll see. We're going to talk about that soon. I'm kind of eager to talk about that. But I was like,
okay, all right, we'll circle back.
I will always talk about these things if I see them, right? Like if Yola did exactly what this Vatic did, they would have gotten absolutely railed in that review, especially because they're larger and they should be able to do better, like without a doubt. And then some people were like, dude, it's a smaller company. Like you can't be this harsh. Like you have to give them a pass. Like they can't absorb a blow like the big company. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. If you release a paddle that has issues, it's going to get talked about. I was like, so would you rather, if I'm reviewing this and I know it's a small company and I know something has a problem, would you rather me skip it and not tell you? Like, it's just really weird.
You can't make them all happy. Nah, man, just do you.
I've learned that for sure now, and I just don't really care anymore. It's like someone is going to be mad. Like actually one guy on Reddit, he was like, wow, Chris skipped the Oni launch day review. He must just be trying to protect his Yola sales. And I was like, dude, I'm literally working that week. When my paddle broke, I worked 2 15-hour days back to back to get that review done by Friday. And I was like, I'm not trying to protect anything. I'm trying to give you guys accurate information.
This video out. Right. Protect my Yola sales, like, bro. If anything, you're just like, maybe I'm trying to protect my quote unquote Yola sales that don't exist because our codes don't work for the new Gen 3s. But if you
links still work, even though it's not the same as a code. But like, I just thought the sentiment was so silly. I was like, if I wanted to protect sales, I just wouldn't review the paddle.
Yeah.
So, anyways, there was lots of back and forth stuff like that, and I just thought it was really silly. Like, you got to protect the smaller companies. It's like, dude, Vatic has been heavily promoted by everyone for the last year for having amazing, like the Prism. That's like, it won an award still from good. Me. Like, it's still a great paddle. Like, what more do you want? Like, Vatic is still a good company, and the owner Daryl still an amazing guy. Like, I'm sure whatever issues, if anything happens with these new ones, he will take care of them. But I was like, the information presented to me, you should be aware of this and how the paddle changes and what I experienced. There's no way I'm going to cover that up.
Okay. Yep. All right. Rant over. Chris, moving on.
All right. Yola's next. So,
oh gosh, here we go. What we got now?
This was all very timely. So my brother, he was like, dude, my Alpha sounds really weird, because that's what he's been playing with since we got him. And, I was like, well, let me see. So we hit it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this thing is a missile. Like, more than the production ones that
more
I have.
More than when it was prior, because it was already hitting like a missile.
Yeah. So we press into it, and it's, dude, it's actually, do I have my bag? Let me grab it. Hang on one sec.
Okay. Yeah.
Hopefully my mic will pick this up properly, but it's so crunchy. Let me.
Oh, yeah, I can hear that.
Like, it. This one's toast for sure. So I was like,
that's Cap'n Crunch, bro. Cap'n Crunch. Get a bowl of cereal, bro. It's
definitely Cap'n Crunch. So after that, I like posted about this on Instagram and I was like, well, shoot, that's crazy. Like, I was hoping that they had this fixed because they had a whole year last year of paddles that did this. So I thought they would have learned. Within 24 hours, I had people messaging me about theirs breaking. So one guy from a local facility, he texted me and said, hey, my Yola, my new Yola is making a crunching sound. Is that bad? And I was like, send me a video.
Yeah.
Sends me a video. And I was like, yeah, that's bad. Then
real bad.
One of our local pros here, his was crunching and he texted me and he said, I did this in 2.5 days. The other guy was 2 weeks.
2.5 days?
It's Amrik, though. You know Amrik. He slaps
okay,
the...
Okay, all yeah. right. Okay, it was Amrik. That yeah. explains a lot.
Exactly. He
should have started with that.
Yeah, yeah, I probably should have. But then Cliff Pickleball messaged me. He said mine broke yeah. in like... Well, actually, I don't know if he told me a time frame, but his broke. A guy from California messaged me. His was crunching in 5 days. Also sent a video confirming the crunch. Today, this morning, I played with a friend who has the Scorpius 16. And I was like, hey, can you just check your paddle quick? And there was like really, 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 really faint cracking. Like I was like, it's probably not really crushed yet. By the time we finished the session, we checked again. Crunch, crunch, crunch.
Mm.
So I think there were 6 paddles within a 24-hour span that were then reported to me that are now broken, including mine being one of those. That is ridiculous. That's not good, bro. $300.
Yeah, $300 plus tax, right?
It's so stupid to me. Now, of course, like, is it going to be widespread? Who knows? But when I see that many in that short of a time frame,
it's not
I'm
a
little skeptical.
Look. Yeah, exactly. That's not a good sign.
It's just when you are asking that much money. We've talked about this so many times. You cannot have these issues, like. I'm so tired of it for as a reviewer and for the consumer that you can pay this much money and expect like quality control of something that should be like $100. Or like if you bought it and broke at $100, you might expect that.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
That's nuts. Honestly, for the consumers listening, if you're on YouTube, leave a comment down below and just let me know what you think of this when you spend that much money and you still have core crushing. Do you not care because you can warranty it? Maybe people don't mind like going through the warranty, but like,
or maybe
I would
just out of touch and $300 is not a lot of money for a paddle. And they're just like, yeah, send me another one, buy another one. They're buying 3 of these, 4 of these bad boys at a time.
I mean, I'm sure there's some people like that, but this is so unacceptable. And now it makes me question every time someone's using this and it's hitting like extra hard. I'm like, is it 'cause it's broken? Like we're really going to have to go through this again.
Yeah, dude, I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't been playing with these paddles as of late. I was just like, I don't really care for, I mean, as fun as it is, I don't care for the power that much. And plus these issues and, you know, QC. I just need right now when I'm playing pickleball, I just want something consistent that I can kind of rely on and I can get the same performance day in, day out. So I know, I remember questioning if it's the paddle. And then also think about, like if I spent this much money and I broke it, let's say in like a week or two, I'm like, what? It only lasted me like a week or something. I'd be pissed. And
there,
like, that's all I could think about.
There is zero chance now that I'm seeing this. I was already skeptical when I saw the grit inconsistency issue, but at least you could go into a store and mitigate that issue by touching it. Like if you really wanted to buy one. But like I said, in my Vatic review, same thing for this. Now that I'm seeing this, there's no way if I had to go spend $300 to buy a paddle that I'm choosing this. You would need 2 to always be cycling them and then warranty it. Like, to me, that's not worth it if I don't have unlimited money to spend. Like, I want a paddle that's more consistent.
And that's why we have other options out there. And that's why you and I have jobs as paddle reviewers.
I mean, true. And you know what's actually really annoying? That with, like, this whole break-in thing. So I feel like that started with some of the Gen 2s, but it became a really real thing with the gearbox because it was like, well, you have to break it in if you want it to hit really hard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the gearbox is a little different because it's like carbon fiber and foam and all these other things. These Gen 3s like have polymer in them. But I'm like, for this and like the Vatic and probably whatever else is going to come out, does breaking in just mean the paddle is breaking and the core is going down and that's why it's getting hotter?
Right. Because when you're, I mean, so with the gearbox, it's different because you, I mean, you know, once it breaks in, like you can press it or whatever, it doesn't make a cracking sound. I feel like the cracking sound, and then if you're spinning that much, I know when kind of like parts of the glue or something comes off in the paddle and you hear that maraca shaking, that rattling sound. It doesn't really bother me that much, honestly, because I don't really notice it. But if I'm paying that much for it, I don't want to hear a rattling sound. Like,
yeah.
I'll give it a pass for paddles that are like 150 less, or maybe around up to like the 170 range. I'm like, okay, yeah, it's fine. And honestly, it doesn't bother me. But if you're paying like 230 to like $300, first of all, you shouldn't hear that rattling sound. And then also, when you're pushing in, you shouldn't hear that crunching sound either. It's just not a good look. Like, the experience of owning that paddle, right, is not great.
And I think what's going to be even worse than Gen 2 last year with these is these already hit really hard.
So they're going to hit harder.
They'll hit harder, which, like, whatever. But it's already at a threshold that's so high that I feel like even if it core crushes, and because they make a weird sound as it is, it's a lot less obvious if you're playing against someone who has a broken one. Last year with the Gen 2s, it was really obvious when someone had a core crush paddle. Unless people are checking with their hands, I think a lot of these are going to get missed. Because my friend this morning, he was like, yeah, man, like, ever since I got this Yola, like, he's had it for a week and a half, I think. He's like, it keeps getting harder and harder to use. And I was like, yeah, you might have a core problem. So
all those people in the comments in our Yola videos, like, or wherever, they're saying, yeah, the reviewer said that this thing is really poppy, and, you know, I didn't have a problem controlling it. And then like a week later, like, okay, I'm having problems, because now they're hitting harder, maybe they're breaking in more, or maybe they're just breaking. And maybe the ones that we had were broken in already when we started playing, because I mean, we had a good amount of time with them before we did our video reviews on them, you know. And
I mean, it was definitely clear that it changed during the time we used it, because I remember my Scorpius was not that bad. And then it got to a point where I was like, I just can't use this. And actually, I did check my Scorpius, my Alpha. It's not crunchy like my brother's, but like, you can definitely find a spot where you hear some really faint crunching. It's just not nearly as bad. So I don't know. If you guys don't care about dealing with the warranty, feel free. And you really like the Yola, feel free to keep buying it. Like, I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money. But I am going to tell you that if that is something that annoys you, then you should not buy this.
Don't get it.
Because I'll be curious 1 to 2 months from now how many reports we have of these issues.
Yeah.
Or hopefully it just gets fixed, which I doubt, because, I mean, the Yolas last year had core crushing issues, so I'm skeptical. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, this is why I'm not high on this. I said this in the video, but like, I'm not high on this Gen 3 stuff anymore. Like, if this is what it means, I don't want it.
Yeah, you don't want it. Well, I think, like, I mean, like I said in the beginning of this episode, you know, maybe a couple months from now they'll come out with other versions, or other companies will try it and they'll be able to mitigate or fix these issues, just like Gen 2 was.
Yeah,
you know, now I feel like most Gen 2 paddles are in a good spot. Like, you don't hear it nearly as much.
It's definitely not nearly as much as last year. Occasionally you'll still see some floating out there, but you're right, much less than it used to be.
So I don't know, we'll circle back on this, you know, maybe a couple months from now, and we'll see. Maybe we'll hear more. I mean, I'm sure, you know, there's going to be more Gen 3 paddles that are gonna be coming out with from other companies, and, you know, you and I will test them, we'll review them, and of course you guys listening out there will share you our thoughts.
I'm gonna put this meme on screen for everyone. But someone put a great meme in my Discord. So, you know the show Pawn Stars?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. So they have a picture of them, and then it says, what can a $280 paddle get me? And then it says, best I can do is 1 month of play. I was like, dang, that's really funny.
That's maybe really even less funny than that.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're like, well, the follow-up comment in my Discord was, correction, 10 hours.
10 hours. Oh, yeah. And then they're like, the follow-up to that is like, oh, the grit's not as heavy. Okay, that's only a week. Not less than that, 5 hours. Half that again.
Yep. Okay, last thing before we get to the kitchen. I was thinking back as I was thinking about all these paddles and all these issues, and I was like, huh, I remember when I did my Gearbox GBX review, their first raw carbon polymer paddle. I remember that's when thermoforming came out, and I had emailed Rafa And I was like, is this thermoformed? And he's like, no, it's not.
No.
And yeah. he said that he didn't think it was good. And the quote actually that's in the video was, the thermoforming method is not a superior build for honeycomb paddles. In fact, I believe it to be a negative when making paddles. And the quote went on to say other things that aren't quite as related to this. And at the time, I remember thinking, that's so stupid. These thermoformed paddles are amazing, which now that they've kind of reined things in, it's better. But I just think back to this quote, and he was basically right. For a year, we've dealt with core crushing and all these things. There's obviously, we've gained good things. Power, sweet spot, like a lot of these paddles are great, but it still hasn't been perfected 100%. So
yeah,
I just thought some credit there was due because I was like, oh, I remember that quote. And at the time I thought it was really stupid. And now I see maybe he was right.
He was right. No, he is right. He is right. Like, I mean, like look at what's happening now. I mean, I don't know. It's like you said, it's not perfect. I mean, if it was, right, we wouldn't be seeing people trying to innovate to the next thing, adding foam into the core, right? If Gen 2 was the best thing ever, like, you know, somebody would have figured out a way to do it so they don't break and they'd still play well. But the people who have tried to find solutions so that Gen 2 really don't break, you know, it changes the playability of the paddle a little bit. There are companies that do it better than others, of course. But, you know, if it was the thing to go to, like, we wouldn't be talking about Gen 3 and people trying to create, you know, Generation 3 or the next best thing.
Also, think about this really quick. You know, obviously, it's because it's an adjacent sport. Actually, two adjacent sports you could make this argument for. Tennis rackets. You spend upwards of $300. That thing probably lasted 20 years. I have a Babolat tennis racket. I have two of them that are from 10, 15 years ago. Still have them.
Still good. Yeah, all you got to do is replace the strings and replace the grommets, maybe. But yeah, for the most part, yeah, your tennis rackets should be straight. They're better constructed, better made, you know.
So, and they're the same price. I'm like, that's just what makes me keep shaking my head. I'm like, how are you going to command this price and expect your issue? You're just like, well, we make enough money on these that, like, the warranties just won't be a problem. Like, whatever. Right. People can just warranty it. Like, that's annoying.
Mm-hmm. Very annoying. When you put it in that perspective, it is very annoying. But also at the same time, you know, if the market can handle it, the market can handle it. If people are willing to pay for it, they're going to pay for it. So it is what it is, essentially. Yeah.
I mean, I guess as long as people are buying them, which I know they're gonna. I'm sure for a lot of people, these like core crushing things aren't even going to scare people out of it. And again, like I said,
and there's people who don't even listen to our pod and they don't care. They don't know.
Well, I mean, the vast majority of pickleball players don't listen to this podcast.
I thought you were going to say, what are you talking about, Will? Everybody listens.
No, absolutely not. Not even close.
Dude, that would have been a savage comment. I would have applauded you for that.
No.
But a little bravado, you know, from you.
Be warned, guys. Do with that information what you will, but you've made it to the kitchen.
Welcome to the kitchen. And today in the kitchen, we're going to talk about the importance of stretching. You, Chris, have had back problems.
Yes.
For, you know, since our little stint with Jordan Briones at the two-day intensive.
I've had him before that, too, but that was a really bad one. That was probably the worst I've had ever.
Yeah.
So
I was like, I still can't believe you still have them, but I was like, are you sure that I'm the one older? Like, you should be having these problems in your 20s, Christopher.
So
Christopher.
What's really interesting.
Tell us what happened.
Well, so it's still, I'm not positive that I know yet, but I have a much better idea. So what would happen is whenever I would play pickleball really hard, this would mostly happen at tournaments because, you know, it's like a 12-hour day or sometimes 10, 8, whatever. A lot of standing, a lot of walking, a lot of playing really intensely. I would sometimes have my lower back would hurt really badly. And then the next day, if I planted on the leg on that same side of the back, sometimes it just felt like it was giving out and like movement became really difficult. And this happened enough times where, you know, it happened at the Jordan Briones thing. I think it happened at one other tournament, then San Clemente in December. And then it's happened multiple times this year. So I was finally to the point where I was like, I'm sick of this. This needs to be addressed. And I was like, I don't think it's strength training because I've been going to the gym and doing things for my back and glute and whatever. So I was like, the only thing I never, ever, ever do is stretching. And I knew my mobility kind of sucked. Like if I tried to touch my toes, I could not reach. I was like, okay, we need to work on that. So for the last 2 weeks, I've been stretching a lot. Like I can pretty much put my palms all the way to the ground now when I do my hamstrings. Been working on my hip flexors. And after every pickleball session, I go home and I stretch for like 20 minutes. World of difference, dude. It's insane how much better I feel the next day, how much better I can play pickleball, and how much more I can play pain-free. I still get some twinges, but as soon as I stretch my hamstrings, I'm usually good to go.
All right. That's good. I should probably stretch a little bit more. I do stretch, after the sessions, and there's just times where I do, like, I know you kind of sit at your desk, but I have a standing desk, so every little bit, like, I will stand up, and while I'm standing, I'll put it at a height where, like, I kind of have to, like, stretch my legs out or in a certain, like, kind of position where, you know, it just naturally stretches me. And I do a lot of, like, I do kind of now, like, still do a lot of other activities, biking, a little basketball, and I do a lot of, I've been telling you, I've been doing, like, a little bit more dance, and also, it's going to sound funny, but when I go through my house sometimes, like, I'm kind of doing awkward, weird movements, like, animalistic, like, walking, straight, like, you know, just on the ground, like, I don't know, like a cat or a bear or crawling, just so like I remember how some of these movements kind of work. And a lot of it is because I'm playing with my dog or whatever. Sure. So like that's part of it, you know, and just kind of reminds you of like, you know, like stretching is part of mobility, but like movement is also, I want you to know that movement is also part of mobility and moving in different ways. And sometimes I'm going to the park or whatever, see a playground, you know, hop on the monkey bars, go around, like just kind of get that wide range of movement again. That's also really important, you know?
I was actually thinking about this because I was thinking, I was like, okay, as far as I'm aware, Will isn't like a big stretcher. So I was like, what are the differences between me and Will, and like, why does he not have some of these issues, especially being older? And the immediate first thing that came to mind is for the last probably 10 years, much of my stuff has been sitting. Like I sit at a computer and edit and work on a lot of videos. And currently in pickleball, my like two modes are home in a chair all day and then pickleball and then back to a chair. So I'm sure that was hard on my body, and just knowing that you're doing a lot more movements and standing desk, that helps. So that's probably a big reason why, even if you're not stretching as much, your body is just primed for that more than mine has been.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as simple, like I have a little like a octagonal like timer on my desk. Like if I move it to one side, it's like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And I always just set it to every 30 minutes. So when it beeps, it's like, I'm like, okay, time to take a break and time to like either get up or stand up or change my position or walk around or something. And I'll just kind of like, you know, if I can like listen to something, or there's a video or a podcast that I was kind of part of work or answering emails or something like that, or reading emails, I will like kind of do lunges around my house, or I'll go to the kitchen. I'll do lunges to my kitchen to get water, things like that. Small little things like that, that I really don't think about. This is just kind of second nature to me, and maybe that's helped me out. So, I mean, that's just some tips for you. You can just kind of incorporate it into your everyday life a little bit, and yeah, it'll help. I don't think I've had issues unless, you know, I'm playing pickleball a lot, or I go too hard in something that I shouldn't be going, like, I don't know, trying to bike way too hard or way too long or way too far, or playing basketball, you know, something like that I'm not used to doing, you know, because that load, if you're not used to that load, it will take a toll. And I guess for you, yeah, you've been playing pickleball really hard, and without the lack of movement and stretches, yeah, it takes its toll, and that's what happened. But I'm glad that you're doing better now.
No, I mean, it's huge. And actually, you know what did finally push me over the edge? It was a back injury from pickleball a couple weeks ago. It was kind of similar to what always happens, but it was actually a little bit worse. It was significantly harder to move. Like before I could like move when the issue would happen, this, for a couple days, I was basically stuck in bed because it hurt so bad even just to roll over. And it went a little higher up my back. And I was like, okay, we got to deal with this. And I don't know. I know stretching is not fun, guys. It's boring. But like, if you play pickleball a lot, you should really consider doing it. Like, hip flexors, hamstrings, like those are the main things I've been focusing on, but I will progress into other
you're
things.
You're leaned over a lot of the times. If you're dinking or whatever, you know, you're kind of like bending over a lot. So it's true that it definitely helps. And I guess on that, I feel like it's like a lower, you know,
yes.
a lower body thing, lower back. You probably get some upper back. I've had issues with my upper back with my shoulder, and I did go see somebody for my shoulder because you know this, that I suffer from like a weak shoulder or sublux or hilux on my left shoulder. So like if I don't engage the muscle or something, like it can pop out and it's quite painful for me. I went to go see somebody who stretched me out up here, and I don't stretch like I guess my upper back, or there's not a lot of mobility for my arms. You know what I'm saying? So I think my lower extremities is fine, but part of that is also because we're at a computer and I'm hunched over a little bit, but I don't stretch or move my shoulders or back nearly as much. And I think, you know, that's what they told me. I was like, you need to stretch this out and move it more. So I don't know. I'm going to take that into account more now as well.
It's funny you say that because that's next on my list to learn how to stretch. So my right shoulder, I've always wondered if something was a little bit off because certain shots like overheads or backhand rolls, it just looks really easy for certain people. And it always felt to me that my shoulder was like not letting me give the same amount that other people were. And recently it's been a lot more sore or just like annoying when I do certain things. And so I did some tests like reach your left hand over your back and then your bottom one behind and try and touch your hands. I can't do it if my right hand is from the bottom, but I can if my left hand is. So I'm sure that my right shoulder has some mobility issues, and I'm going to start working on those too because it'll probably help a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, you can put away balls now. Yeah, thank goodness. Yeah, please, please do that so you can better put away balls. Yes.
Yes, 100%.
So, for my sake, please.
We need to pick an APP tournament, by the way, to go to. We got to try and qualify for nationals.
All right, yeah, let's go. APP, let's do it. I don't even know what is out there.
I haven't checked.
Right now. All right.
But we definitely got to
let us know in the comments
one.
If there's one that you guys want us to go to in the coming months. Probably not in July. I'm going to be busy in July.
Yeah, I'll be pretty busy July too.
So maybe August of the fall?
Well, yeah, maybe June, maybe.
Maybe June.
We'll have to see what's available and what our deadline is. But yeah, I just wanted to stretch the importance of stretching because I think it's something everyone neglects because it's so annoying. But one of the things I've been thinking about a lot recently is when I get older, I want to be mobile and not have some of the issues that like I see in other people. And I'm like, if you lay that foundation now while you're younger, it's so much easier than if you try and build it after a decade plus of murdering
bad
your
habits.
Body. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll look like the actual kind of pickleball players that everybody makes fun of.
Yes. Yeah. I don't want the knee braces. I don't want a hip replacement. I don't want none of that. I'm trying to avoid that. We'll see. We'll see.
We'll touch back in 10 years from now if this pod is still going.
Dude.
We'll let you guys know.
If this pod's still going in 10 years, I hope it is. That's a really long time from now. How many episodes do you think we'd be at? That'd be a lot of episodes. That's actually, we'd be over like 500.
Yeah, easily. Easily.
That's crazy. We'll see.
We'll look back. We'll go back to this episode and bring it if we ever get there. But yeah.
Cool. Well, you got anything else from this week?
Nah, man. That's about it.
Sick. Well, thanks for watching, guys, and we'll catch you next week.
Peace.